Okay.
Most successful troubleshooting occurs as a result of careful observation combined with
deductive
reasoning. It's elementary, my dear Watson, and he never
elementary.
Said, and an organized approach to solving problems. He never said that, by the way. He never said it's elementary, my dear Watson.
He didn't?
Not in a single Sherlock Holmes novel. He would probably do very good troubleshooting.
I have been watching all these Sherlock Holmes episodes. So if you're into Sherlock Holmes, Jerry,
yes,
let me know. I have the DVDs of many.
Ah, that would be very good. And
I love them.
Yeah, they are excellent.
Yeah.
And I'll just... Now, and I think we've done the Sherlock Holmes
bit. We've done the Sherlock Holmes bit. We both decided we both like Sherlock Holmes. So.
We do. We do. That's always good.
So if you have a problem with your first food and you have... So if you've got any problems when you're installing the Windows operating system and restarting the computer, you should, or it depends on what your system is, or if it's a newly assembled computer or a previously functioning machine, but after you install the operating system, if the computer does not successfully boot, or a screen doesn't display, or a keyboard doesn't appear to respond, you should first try restarting the machine using the reset button. You could also try to restart the computer using Windows 98 startup disk if one's available. And if the problem was to persist, you could turn the power off and check for does the CPU cooling fan run, which is good for us who've got a vision impairment.
You
hear the fan?
You can. And it's probably important that you should possibly not... stick your finger in to check that, because the fans that spin at 6800 RPM can actually take the top off your finger.
No, you should be able to just hear it, really. Yeah.
If not, check that the power cable is plugged into the motherboard and the power cable is plugged into the surge suppressor, if you've got one, and that the surge suppressor is turned on.
You could also check that the cable is properly connected to the hard drive, the monitor cable connected to the video card adapter.
Hear the word of the Lord.
And is the boot sequence in complementary metal oxide semiconductor or CMOS setup to drive A?
You know, they really have to make that sound overly complicated, don't they?
Mm.
Just to make you feel as though you're doing something.
That's it.
Yeah, check your BISO, as I call it, or the BIOS in all seriousness. Check your CMOS setup.
Yeah.
And make sure that's set up. And do the lights on the keyboard flash during the power on self test?
And does the floppy light come on during the boot process?
Yeah, it should. Mm. Is the contrast and brightness on the monitor not very important to us?
Mm.
But are they turned up? That's a good one, actually.
Yes.
For a lot of people.
And are all the dual memory inline sockets or DIMMs correctly seated in their sockets? And if a RAM chip's not correctly seated, a typical symptom would be a blank monitor screen. So
all the thing going beep, beep, beep.
Mm.
Now, it's also important to realise that if you're correctly seating the memory in the socket, ensure that the power is off while you're doing that.
That is a jolly good idea.
In fact, if you're checking hard disk cables and things, it's highly recommended that you power the system down before you check those.
Yes. You can also check if all your expansion cards are properly seated. Is the CPU installed properly seated? And if it's not well seated, there won't be any display on the screen either. Is there a power connector attached to the floppy drive, hard drive, CD-ROM and the motherboard? And is the keyboard connected to the motherboard? So some other handy tips for Windows 98. Basically, there's some basic setup troubleshooting tools that are built into all these third-party add-ons, and they can be useful when you're installing this particular operating system. And I'd encourage you, we're going to talk about some of them, but you can do some more research and have a look. There's a lot of information on the web, so. But one of the utilities that is available is SafeMode Device Manager, and it's an important tool to remember. And if Windows 98 becomes unavailable, you shut off the computer and turn it back on. Listen for a beep or wait for a few seconds, then press and hold the left control key on the keyboard. This will open up Windows 98 startup menu. You then choose safe mode from the list of options to boot. And in this safe mode, Windows will load only the basic devices that it needs to run. You then check the device manager to ensure that there are no conflicts with any devices.
Now, it's important to realise that unless you have a hardware speech synthesiser and a version of JAWS less than 6,
you're going to be able to read it.
It does not load a sound driver.
Mm.
No eloquence, boys and girls.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind.
Next tool is ScanDisk Defrag. So ScanDisk...
Well, ScanDisk and Defrag, in fact. There's a slash that separates those. Oh, there's a dog under the table here. ScanDisk.
We have a dog under the table.
We do.
No, the dog is sitting here.
Oh, is it? Okay. That's all right. Well, I'm just hallucinating here. Those chicken and biscuit is pretty good.
It could be a teddy bear or something that you felt with his feet, because Topaz likes to run around with a teddy bear.
She does. Mm. ScanDisk searches the disk for discontiguous file clusters and converts them into a form that can be checked and manipulated.
I like discontinuous. That's another big word.
It is, isn't it? So I've had, I'm the one with the coffee here. This will
I'm
allow
so
you...
impressed. I've never heard that word.
Neither have I.
It was actually disconnected, but...
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm making it up.
But I like discontinuous. I like that. That's
well, there
good.
You go. Okay, well... this will allow you to check for any lost clusters that can be restored. Most of the time you've got no idea what would be in them because they're binary files, so you don't bother. ScanDisk can also detect and delete cross-linked files on the disk.
And the two types of tests that can be run here are standard or thorough. And checking the box next to automatically fix errors will allow ScanDisk to attempt to fix any errors it finds.
Not a good idea.
Mm.
Because if it fixes some error that you didn't want it to fix and you actually know what you're doing, it can actually hose your hard drive. I don't intend to check the automatic box, but if you feel that game, then feel free to do so.
So the standard test actually checks the folders and files on the drive for errors. Whereas a thorough test also checks the files and folders along with examining the physical surface for any errors. Whereas the defrag program realigns the positioning of the related file clusters to speed up the disk drive operation.
It is important that you scan disk before you defrag.
Mm.
Because if there are problems on the drive and you go and defrag and it starts shuffling things around, you can make one hell of a mess.
So the defrag program does its job by making the files more readable by the system, and as it says in the notes now, always run ScanDisk prior to defrag. The other one, virus scanning, which actually, as it sounds, checks the hard drive for viruses, and if there's any detected, it cleans the disk to eliminate them. If there's errors that persist after that, it checks the online help resources for additional help with DOS, Windows, hardware and other software. The FDisk MBR contains undocumented MS-DOS command. I'm sorry, this undocumented
FDisk MS... /MBR, by the way. I know your notes don't say that, but it's FDisk /MBR. It is one of the most well-known undocumented DOS commands I have ever seen.
Yeah, and is most helpful.
It is.
And it is the hard drive's table of contents, basically. So one common problem when the computer will not boot is that the MBR has been corrupted, and the command fdisk-mbr will help to rebuild this crucial record. So now Windows 98 setup areas are probably...
Errors.
The most crucial set of problems to deal with. So, understanding the error codes which are generated by the operating system will save you a lot of time when you're troubleshooting installation programs. Problems.
These are some of the more frequent setup errors.
I'll just put my false teeth back in.
And you'll go through them and give some suggestions on interpretation. and that sort of thing.
So if you get a message that says not enough disk space, you delete any unnecessary files on your hard drive, and if that doesn't work, you reformat the drive and start from scratch. If you get a message that says not enough memory, which is probably my problem on Monday mornings,
mm-hmm.
this tells you that the system lacks sufficient conventional memory to continue the installation.
We covered memory types in a previous lesson, boys and girls.
But we will talk about them again. Conventional memory is the total available memory for copying and removing files. And when this problem occurs, you need to install more RAM. Hey, can I have some more RAM installed?
I don't think so.
Oh, what a shame. Okay, a minimum of 32 megabytes is recommended for a Windows 98 installation. And an earlier version of setupx.dll or netui.dll is in use. If that message appears, it's most likely that there are applications open during installation, and then you'd need to choose either the option to replace the file and continue or cancel and close all running applications.
Mm.
And if you find the same message repeats, you attempt to install Windows 98 from DOS. And we have a phone coming in.
Here we go.
Okay, another message you could get is a cab file error message. And that would mean that the computer may be infected by a virus. So it's, or it may not have enough conventional memory, hardware problems, problems with the CD-ROM. So a clean install and setup method can eliminate any problems related to a virus or low conventional memory. But you need to ensure you have any defective CD-ROMs cleaned or replaced. And another remedy is to attempt to copy the cab files to the hard drive and run setup from there. Another message you could get is unrecoverable setup error. Setup cannot continue on this system configuration. Click OK to quit setup. So if this message comes up, the best course of action is to try installing Windows 98 from DOS. And you'd use the BOS
DOS
boot disk.
Run the BOS boot
disk. To boot to the DOS prompt.
You would.
So another message you might get is setup cannot create files on the startup drive and cannot set up Windows 98. It would then continue on saying there may be too many files in the root directory of the startup drive, or the startup drive letter may have been remapped, and then in brackets SU0018. So you need to remember that the root directory of a drive holds only a maximum of 512 files or folders. You either move or delete some files for setup to continue.
Okay.
Another message you could get is that setup cannot write to the temporary directory. So this error message would indicate that there's not enough room in the temporary directory. And you clear all the files out of the root directory, Windows/temporary. The SU0011 message, the computer is then password protected. You remove the password that is usually in the BIOS setup and restart Windows 98 setup. So I'd encourage you to have a look at the setup.txt file that comes with the Windows installation disk or the CD.
And that comes with most copies of Windows, actually, even with Windows XP.
So, good idea to have a look at it.
I've actually read that one. Oh, I said.
He was sad. So now we're going on to system properties and identifying icon symbols. So system properties has four categories of information that can be accessed by clicking or entering on the tabs. And the first one is we're going to talk about is general. So the general, as it says, gives general information about the system, such as the version of Windows 98 installed or whatever version, the total RAM, the type of CPU, percentage of use resources, and the type of information can vary depending on the computer manufacturer. Another tab there, sorry Kerry, you want
something? Yeah, that's right, the device manager. It displays the hardware that is installed on the system and the standard of these devices. The device manager can be viewed, devices can be viewed by type or connection. The device manager provides the options to view the properties of the device, list and refresh the list of devices to ensure that there are any changes have been made that can be detected. And you can also remove devices with Device Manager, and you can print lists.
For your hardware profiles, on most PCs you don't have any need for different hardware profiles. Although, if you've got a laptop and you're using it at several different locations, such as home and work, like we do all the time, you may need different profiles. And the hardware profiles then option allows you to configure the hardware profiles to be created and then selected when the boot up starts.
Performance shows details on the performance status of the system that indicate this system that is configured for optimal performance. Advanced settings can be edited for the file system, graphics, and virtual memory.
And then we're going on to the Device Manager and identifying symbols using Device Manager. And it's included with Windows 98, allows you to manage, view, and change computer resources. And the Device Manager in Windows provides you with a graphical interface representation of the devices that are configured in the system. And it's used to identify the installed ports, update device drivers, and change input-output settings on your computer. And it can also be used to manually isolate hardware and configuration conflicts that you might have. And it allows you to examine any problem device to see where the conflict is occurring. So to use the Device Manager, you right click or enter on My Computer and select the Properties option to view the icons in the Device Manager.
Or you can go Windows R for Run and type in devmgmt.msc.
From the Device Manager menu, you can then determine whether there's any problems with any of the installed devices on the system. And within the device, there's three types of problems that can be located. If you get the message, an exclamation, and these are actually in your exam too.
There's an exclamation mark
in a yellow circle.
Yes.
And that just means the device is experiencing a direct hardware conflict with another device. If, on the other hand, you get a red X appearing at the device's icon, the device has been disabled or removed and Windows can't locate the device. Other device appears in place of an icon means that the Windows cannot recognise the device that's being installed, and this means that the drivers have not been installed. And where uninstalled or the device is not working right, the driver needs an upgrade. So the Device Manager Properties page provides the tabs to access general information, device settings, device driver information, and device resource requirements and usage. And the system resources can also be viewed in the Device Manager. So if there are hardware conflicts, and for example, if two devices were assigned the same IRQ, you would click or enter on the offending device in the list. And then you'd make sure the device is the current device in the computer, and you'd examine the other conflicting device to make sure that the same device has not been installed twice.
Shall I do the next one?
Yeah, why not?
The next one is adding software drivers. Device drivers now give PCs the ability to add a wide variety of devices to the system. So the device driver is software that is specially designed to enable a computer to recognize hardware and devices installed within the system. Such devices include CD-ROMs,
hard drives and expansion cards.
They do.
And also external devices such as mouse or keyboard.
That's right. Sometimes the problems following an installation of Windows, the operating system, are linked to the absence of appropriate device drivers. They are. The device drivers not only allows the basic system to recognize the presence of the device, but also enables it to work with the device. Although the process for installing equipment and their drivers is in a PC has become a lot simpler, you must be able to install the other bits and pieces over drivers that are necessary. There are generally two ways to install a device driver on the computer. You could auto-detect and install Windows 98 stock drivers for the device. New card or device should already be installed in the computer before this procedure is run. To take advantage of Windows 98 installation wizard to automatically detect and install the hardware device, the wizard is the program that is specially designed to show a series of screens that will guide you through the installation of and setup of the device. Normally the first option is available is to auto-detect the auto-detect function. Once the auto-detect function is selected, a hardware detection process indicator bar appears on the bottom of the screen. When it completes, the wizard will identify which hardware has been found. Once hardware has been found, the wizard searches for the driver to install and completes the process. If the wizard does not detect the hardware, you should attempt to locate the device, and you can do that manually. In the list of supported devices in the wizard. You can use the OEM installation disk or CD. The original equipment manufacturer or OEM has provided drivers. They're responsible for doing that. And what you do is, the only other option for installing hardware devices is to obtain an OEM disk, and you basically run whatever setup program is there. Unfortunately, it is not all such driver disks have an auto start function. In that case, there are usually two ways to proceed. Dear, dry stuff this. Click the have disk button and browse for the driver and complete the process. Or you can boot the system to C:\prompt and use the CD command change to the necessary directory where the new driver is located. Type setup at the command prompt. That should start the setup function. Follow the on-screen instructions. And you should also read any files that are marked README, which is why they're called README.
So the main advantages in using the OEM driver disk is that the drivers are likely to be all current, and using auto-detect with Windows 98 stock drivers sometimes leads to device malfunction or low performance, and stock drivers that are pre-packaged with Windows 98 installation CD may be outdated. So when the driver installation is complete, the system must reboot to activate or make any new changes take effect. And after every hardware installation, it is important to update the device drivers so that you get maximum performance.
Well, that's right.
Okay, so we're up to making a backup Windows startup disk.
I think I'm going to summarise. You go start settings, control panel, and then you go into add remove programs, and then you click on the startup tab and you create a startup disk that way.
Pause for a second, Kevin.
There we go.
So sometimes it's necessary to remove the Windows operating system from your computer. So if you're uninstalling, which is what we call a procedure, this will allow the system to return to a previous version of the Windows operating system. So in some instances, uninstalling Windows 98 will be the only solution when you've attempted an upgrade and it's failed, and especially if you didn't have any backup prior to the upgrades.
Which you should have had.
So formatting the hard drive will then delete all the data. It's a process that wipes the disk clean of any previously stored data. So uninstalling Windows is often referred to as a solution of last resort. So Windows 98, when can it be uninstalled? Basically, if you've upgraded from a previous version, such as Windows 95, and the save and install information option was selected during Windows 98 setup. You need to note, though, that when this option is selected, setup creates the winundo.dat and the winundo.ini files that contain the uninstall information.
If you have been clever, or not so clever, and deleted those files, you will no longer be able to uninstall Windows.
So you couldn't or shouldn't uninstall Windows 98 when the conditions mentioned that we've just talked about aren't met, or the two files winundo.dat and winundo.ini become corrupted or deleted. The hard disk may have been pressed prior to Windows 98 operating installation, system installation, or the hard disk was compressed or converted to FAT32 after installing Windows 98. Kerry might like to summarise the step-by-step process of uninstalling Windows 98 so we don't send you all to sleep.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Step-by-step process. One, you go to Start Settings Control Panel. You double-click or enter on Add Remove Programs. From Add Remove Programs menu, click or enter on Uninstall Windows 98, funnily enough. And then Add Remove, and then click or enter on Yes, I would like to do this. Scan disk will check the hard drive, and you go through and you look at that. And then, when prompted to continue the uninstall, choose Yes and follow the on-screen instructions. Try to remember that uninstalling Windows 98 is a drastic course of action. Okay? Don't want to try this at home, kiddies, unless you absolutely have to. And it's the last course of action if you can't seem to get something to work. And there could be many side effects, such as malfunctions and stuff. So, you know, when it breaks, you keep both pieces. The requirements and options for other versions of Windows will differ depending on what the hell you're doing. And getting to understand the steps will help you to troubleshoot any problems that may occur.
Basically, that brings us to the end of this lesson. You can all breathe a sigh of relief. And for Kerry and I, that sort of brings us to our next recording that we have to make this morning. But we will talk to you all again soon. So we hope you have a good day, and it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.